May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be acceptable to you, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. So today is the first Sunday of Lent. Lent is a season that focuses on penitence, abstinence, and amendment of life. And those can feel like pretty heavy concepts. But today, I want to tell you why they're also good news. There's a story associated with one of the great financial institutions on Wall Street. One Friday evening, the story goes, letters arrived in the mailboxes of 12 members of the executive board of a large and prestigious financial bank. The letters were unsigned and not on headed note paper, and they were very brief, each comprising just these four words. They know everything. Flee. By Monday morning, 10 of the 12 board members had left town, and that famous financial giant was now looking for new leadership. They know everything. Imagine you got a note with these words passed to you in the pew this morning. Where would your mind go? To some fantasy you've been fueling? To some resentment you've been harboring? To that secret that nobody knows but you? What would you do? Would you flee? It's a terrifying prospect for two reasons. The first is that we all have something like this. All have some secret that we keep hidden from the world and maybe even from ourselves. The second is that we rightly sense that the revelation of these secrets would start changing our relationships, often for the worse. The problem is there's no respite in our secrets either, is there? Undealt with, they haunt us in all manner of ways. They isolate us from those from whom we keep them. Modern people are so lonely, in large part because we have so many secrets. Then they draw us deeper into their worlds, increasingly normalizing what we once thought was an alternate reality or escape. As this happens, the lines between our two realities become more and more blurred as we ourselves forget who we are. Until we are trapped. Those things which we once kept hidden in our back pockets now have us in theirs. In lives so lived, which I'm saying in one way or another is all our lives, penitence and fasting can be deeply freeing. A great example of what this looks like came to movie theaters in 2014 through Reese Witherspoon's adaptation of the memoir Wild. Wild tells the story of a young woman who, following the death of her mother, makes a series of tragic life decisions that begin with a series of extramarital affairs and end with her becoming, in her own words, the least true version of herself. And so Cheryl Strayed, the name that she gives herself following her affairs and divorce, decides to hike more than a thousand miles of the Pacific Crest Trail to go out into the wild and away from the ruins of her life. The journey, however, is not one of escape. Rather, Cheryl's goes out in search of the change that we call healing. She writes, "I had to change, not into a different person, but back to the person I used to be." And so she decides to walk. "I'd walk and think about my entire life," she writes. "I'd find my strength again, far from everything that had made my life ridiculous." In Lent, we walk for 40 days and think about our lives in hopes of finding our strength again, far from everything that has made our lives ridiculous. In Lent, we look for the change that might bring healing. The good news of Lent is that the secret things that haunt our lives need not haunt them forever. Our chains can be broken. or perhaps better said, they can be worn down and worn off on our knees, on our own 1,000 miles of prayer and fasting and self-denial. Amen. Amen. I could probably just stop there, and maybe some of you would like that better, but I'd be remiss if I didn't say just one more thing. Now, in and of itself, I think all that I've just said is good news, and yet there's a problem here too, isn't there? And it's one that you know, if you have, like I have, already broken some of your disciplines only a day or two into Lent. The thing we all know is that the likelihood of us keeping to these disciplines for just these 40 days is rather low. Or even if we do keep them, it's often a struggle. It's a battle not to eat that cupcake or drink that glass of wine or hop back on social media or whatever it is for you. And so whether we are fighting and failing, or fighting and just barely hanging on, it's still hard for this to feel like freedom. It's hard for this to feel like good news. Now, what I've said so far tonight is that's just how disciplines are supposed to work. They're hard until eventually they're not as hard anymore. And that not as hard anymore is actually deeply freeing. But it's also not that simple either, is it? If there's one thing we've learned in life and one thing that our Lenten disciplines confirm, it's that some things will never come easy. Some things, in fact, get harder over time. And in some things, we will never stop failing. Never. We know this. And this thing that we know could make Lent a season of self-judgment and self-loathing. It could, that is, were it not for the good news. At the end of the day, we need our disciplines, but we also need more than our disciplines. In fact, at the end of the day, were they left on their own, our disciplines would be self-defeating. They would turn inward on themselves, condemning us for failing to keep them. Which is why, at the end of the day, these disciplines do not get the last word. In fact, they do not even get the first word. Before we even take up these disciplines, another word has already been spoken. For as we began Lent this morning, we prayed what is called the Great Litany. And 13 times, you as a congregation pray, "Good Lord, deliver us." And then in the concluding collect, we declare this, "O God, you have promised to hear, you have promised to hear the petitions of those who ask in thy Son's name." It is too early to talk of Easter, though not, it seems, too early to look forward to it. For this word, deliver us, transforms the way we think about our disciplines, drawing the season of Lent into its promise. Over the next 40 days of Lent, we may falter and fail, but we have already been delivered from these faults and failures. We may grow weary and weak, but as we do, our deliverance is already standing by our side. And though our hearts may be tempted toward guilt and shame, our guilt and shame do not get the final say. Beloved in Christ, hear the good news. No matter how long or how hard the road gets, you are now, you were then, and you will always be carried along the journey by your deliverer. And for that, we say thanks be to God and amen.